years before, people couldn't imagine that somebody will talk inside a box and we will call it a radio. Currently, even a radio is going to be history, replacing by podcasts. It is one of the examples of innovation, and it seems that not last. Hi everyone, in my first podcast I'm going to talk about the diffusion of innovations theory. My name is Elvira and you are listening to Digital Human Podcast. What would happen if humans lose 50% of all the jobs in the world to robots? According to a study, financial services firm Cornerstone Capital Group, 7.5 million the retail job is at risk of automation in the next 10 years. We are now living in a world where technology is taking over society. Technology created by people surprises people themselves, and they adopt innovations differently. How and why innovations are taken up in a population? These are the main questions of the diffusion of innovations. Innovations on the technology and what is diffusion? An inventor of theory, Everett Rogers, in his book called Diffusion of Innovations, explained that diffusion is the process in which innovations is communicated through certain channels over time among the members of the social system. It is a process that spreads innovations such as new product, technology, or new idea from one consumer to the next. Before talking about the system of diffusion of innovations and how does it work, I would like to take a quick glance at how the study of theory began. Hybrid corn study by agricultural officials Bruce Ryan and Neil Gross opened new doors of understanding diffusion. They wanted to learn why farmers didn't choose the most economically wise choice when faced with such a choice. But the more expanded view to this theory was established by Everett Rogers. He investigated a model of a process. The traditional understanding of innovations broke down time by time. No doubt that innovations has completely transformed our world. There is at least the soft touch of technology in each field, especially marketing. Can we stop this process of lower speed? In the definition of theory, Everett Rogers mentioned about main elements of theory. There are innovations, communications channels, time, and the society system. It can be new idea, practice, object, or product. The innovation goes from one person to another by word of mouth, SMS, or any type of communication channel. Members of the social system are seeking information through mass media or interpersonal communications for making a decision. It takes time to get adopted. Imagine a new mobile phone was produced and it will take time to get spread and adopted by consumers. These consumers are members of different social systems, and those members making their decisions independently. Following five steps, they are going through uncertainty to certain level. Knowledge is a level where we get information and already have some idea about a product. Then we pursued either want to continue to get information or not. After we are making a decision, we begin to implement it. In the last level, we confirm the innovation and use information without any doubt. The process relies on human capital, which is available everywhere. The diffusion model is a main model that big marketers and small business owners are utilizing. How does theory work in market and why is theory important? We will find answers with Dr. Mazen Badra, the assistant professor in Lindemann University Accelerator Programs Administration.
Hi, Dr. Badra. I hope you are doing well today.
I am. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share my thoughts and ideas about your subject.
Why innovation diffusion is so important nowadays and what does affect that?
It's very important because, simple reason, people have access to information, access to, you know, knowledge way much faster than before. So any innovation might take way much less time for people to know about in a traditional manner or 30, 40 years ago. And this is all due to social media and the internet and, the digital aspect of communications.
Let's talk about the S-shaped diffusion curve, one of the most understandable explanations of diffusion and adoption of innovations. How does the S-curve process work?
Right. At the beginning, everybody was talking about the bell-shaped curve, where you start with early adapters and end with the laggards, and how everybody else adapt any new innovation at a certain time, we call it the tipping point. So it's all about the timing from the start all the way to get to the, instead of we call it tipping point, which is the point that innovation and adoption starts so fast, so rapid, and then it gets to almost what we call maturity or saturation. Almost everybody everybody knows about it, have tried it, and now what? You know, and this is the tripping point where companies has to really make the next move, which is what do we do next? How can we improve on this innovation or probably becomes obsolete, and then we have to start another curve, another S-curve, but we have to be ready for it. This is the main risk of the S-curve for companies to know when we reach that tipping point and then we reach to the tripping point and then introduce a new concept.
How does the theory affect on customers' performance?
Absolutely. Any innovation or invention or new concept, if it doesn't get the approval and people don't like it, of course it's not going to go anywhere. So the main thing we need to understand that people also perceive any innovation or any concept differently. For that reason, we need to learn about our customers. Who are they? How they think? What are they exposed to? What technology they use to communicate? And how to communicate with them? At what point in time we should communicate with them so we can manage that cycle in an efficient and effective manner?
What has changed since 1962 when diffusion in marketing wasn't one of the six traditions? However, now marketing is the most influenced field and the main platform for this theory.
The main thing that changed, again, is technology and the internet and access to knowledge and information and data way much faster than before. Today's customers are way much more educated, and now marketing is adapting to that. And because of the advancement in technology, we have now digital marketing, which is more personalized. It's more one-on-one marketing. I can communicate with you as an individual if I follow up on your behavior on the internet and the web pages you go to and what products you look for. I can gear all my marketing effort towards you as a person. That's a huge difference between then and now.
How can innovation change the world in the future?
It is already changing the world. And I think the medical field, the healthcare field, is going to be definitely one of the fields that can benefit a great deal from technology and innovation, diffusion. But we need to remember that it's going to be fast.
Thank you for a positive response, Dr. Badrav.
During interview with Professor Badrav, we mentioned about S-shaped diffusion curve. How did Everett Rogers explain the process? Without diffusion and adoption, there is no point of innovations. It's a chain where each part splits to each other. Based on Ryan and Gross studies, the S-shaped curve explains the rate of adoption of innovation by people. We all see it at various places at various times in the scale. The first 2.5% of our population are our innovators, people who take innovation risk first. This is actually a young age group. The next 13.5% of our population are our early adopters. As a rule, these are social leaders, popular with a good education, who can present the benefits of innovation. The first two type of population, the innovators and early adopters, they are comfortable making these gut decisions. These guys more comfortable making those intuitive decisions. They want to be the first, and it's not about the product, it's about psychology and character of people. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do. The next 34% are formed by early majority. They are reasonable, more cautious than early followers, but accept innovation earlier than the average follower. With the same percent after early majority come late majority. They are skeptical of innovations and accepted innovation only when it has already been adopted by the majority. They don't want to spend money on unproven innovation. The last group is laggards. They are 16%. This group of people takes innovation less. They are conservative, focused on tradition, do not like change, accept innovation, only way they have become the generally accepted norm or tradition. Today, Rogers' model has mostly economic importance, including business strategy and marketing. The marketing managers focused on two questions: how to encourage consumers to purchase new product or technologies, and how to forecast success in the marketplace. On basis of S-shaped curve marketing, Professor Frank Bass formulated Bass model. Bass suggested that the likelihood of a consumer buying a product is a linear function. It depends on the number of previous customers. He built a system of mathematical functions and described the dynamics of sales of a new product over time. Marketers try to instigate people to catch up innovations and by different strategies involve them to be the active buyers. But for talking about the practical side of theory, I have had an interview with a young professor, undergraduate communications school of Lindenwood University, and chief communications officer at Carroll & Company Communications, Christina Carroll.
We all know that technology has a great impact on marketing communications. However, what is the main inappropriate impact of technology to communication?
The main negative or inappropriate impact of technology and communication is really is that it can have a negative effect on interpersonal communications. For example, there was a story on 60 Minutes last night where they were talking about particularly teenagers, and they were doing some brain scans and looking at the impact of technology on the brain. And it has a very similar effect to what they see in addictions. So when people are addicted to alcohol or to drugs, it's that same kind of endorphin rush when their technology pops on. So that's the extreme. That's an extreme case, but it's a very real possibility that we've not, as a society, looked at or seen those results yet, anything to prove that it's negative impact. I would also say that the invasiveness and the pervasiveness of it are real negative downsides to technology and communication. It's everywhere, and if it's used well, that's great. But because of its invasiveness and pervasiveness and lack of responsible use by users that will use it for harm or use it in a negative manner, those would be probably the top three negative uses of our.
The popular strategy in marketing is word of mouth. But the interesting thing that which one of them taking more benefits, the consumers or the companies?
Well, the consumer always, because word of mouth advertising or word of mouth marketing has always, since the beginning of time, been the most effective. And the reason for that is that we all believe someone that we know and trust before we're going to believe someone that we don't know or have never heard of or are unfamiliar with their business practices or their product or services or how well they support them. So we all will be more inclined to listen to one another. That's where digital networks come into play and why they're so valuable to advertisers in social media, because people have their networks. Those are their friends that they know and that they trust if they need, say, a repairman or a physician. The company benefits by simply offering the best service, the best quality product that they can, because if they do that, then whoever they're serving is going to serve as their mouthpiece or provide the word of mouth to their friends about the quality of workmanship and the quality of product, and they will get repeat business or they will get referral.
And as a person who has years of experience in marketing communication, how you are using technological innovations in your business?
I use it a lot. Right now, through my company, Carolyn Company Communications, I work a lot with internal communications. So within companies, helping them facilitate change and awareness and sell ideas or new ways that the business is going, new directions and skills. And we'll use internal social media sites like Yammer or Slack, and we'll use those for disseminating messages, recognizing people, getting leaders involved that need to get involved and be aware of what's happening within the organization and help promote those causes. So we use Yammer quite a bit. I use LinkedIn quite a bit. My own website is the opportunity to promote my business and provide business samples of client work that I have done so that people get a sense of the type of work.
We can say that technological innovations just observe the world. How can you predict the future communications? What's going to change for the next years?
Hopefully, the hope would be that as the industry matures, these companies will begin to understand that it's not a good idea to irritate their prospective customers, right? So, you know, if I'm actually in the market looking for cars, then it is appropriate for you to let me know about sales or opportunities that might be going on versus slamming my email box or slamming my Facebook page every other day with the latest and greatest thing just because I happen to hit your website or your social media. So hopefully they will become more sophisticated, both the marketers and the consumers. That's kind of a pipe dream. We'll see, because as we know, people do abuse that technology because it's ahead of any kind of laws. We're starting to see some of the legislation in Europe come through and regulating the internet. I think we need more of that. There needs to be more international law regarding use of the internet to help curtail a lot of the scams and the abuse of power that that vehicle provides.
Thank you very much for the interview. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
There are marketers who criticize theory, saying that it's impossible to predict human behavior with mathematics and charts, but we also can't deny the influence or diffusion of innovations in our lives. I'm Elvira Ismailova. You were listening to Digital Human Podcast. Thanks for joining me.